You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe a difficult place, or perhaps even in a very lonely place, you've come to the right place. Pastor Richard will challenge and encourage you today with a Christmas season message of God's greatest gift, Emmanuel, the hope of the world, as we share the 25 Talks of Christmas all this month on Richard Ellis Talks. Now, a reminder that you can always listen to, download, and even share this or any talk with a friend right from the Advent calendar on the website, richardellistalks.com. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is It's a Boy. Little stories here. A Sunday school teacher asked her class why Joseph and Mary took Jesus with them to Jerusalem. A small child replied they couldn't get a babysitter. There's one explanation. After the dedication of his baby brother in church, little Dennis sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him three times what was wrong. Finally, Dennis replied, "That preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." A few quotes about babies. Milton Berle said, "If evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands?" Might get a response out of women there. If your baby's quote unquote beautiful and perfect, never cries or fusses, sleeps on schedule and burps on demand, an angel all the time, you're the grandma. That's the explanation for that. I love this one. Marshall McLuhan said this, "Diapers backwards spells repaid." Think about it. Let's see. And this is not a necessarily funny one, but a pretty powerful one. Making the decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. Thought that was very profound. Elizabeth Stone said that. Let me just read you some stuff and then I'll tell you where to turn. Baby announcements. It's a boy, it's a girl. In our case today, it's a boy. There's some humorous ones. I saw a little picture of a redneck baby announcement. On the package it said, "It's a boy," and stuffed in this little container was beef jerky. So it's just different things. You know, some people do cigars, some people do beef jerky. I have a personal idea, and I should never say these things out loud because you all may actually try this. But my idea would be for like a honeymoon, a couple who's left town on their honeymoon, and call one of these stork sign people and stick that in the yard while they're gone. Does anybody think that'd be a great idea? Maybe. How do we know it's a boy? Let me attack that first. And I'm going to read these pretty quick. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." So right from the bat in Genesis even, we know a boy is going to be born. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." So it's not just virgin birth, he's going to be a boy. Isaiah 9:6-7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Prophesied there again. If you want to jump in here with me now, turn to Matthew 1:23, and then we'll kind of be around in the Gospels a little bit. Matthew 1:23. Says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So we know it's a boy. Luke 1, and jump in here at verse 31. And the angel says, well, verse 30, "Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." So it's a boy. We know it's a boy even before it's a boy. But now that he is born, we know for sure it's a boy. It fulfills prophecy. Now look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. We'll start Matthew 2, verse 1. If you're going to send out a baby announcement, a pretty profound way to do it would be through the stars themselves. And it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he? And somehow even by this star they had seen, they knew it was a he." Now these are just guys from the east who had come to town. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. We did a deal here a few years ago. In fact, there's some of you sitting here today as a result of this. It was Bethlehem Star, Star of Bethlehem. I highly recommend that you go to this website and watch this thing. In this room, probably 700 or 800 people showed up. And a gentleman who was a professor down at A&M, Texas A&M, here in the state of Texas, came in and did a presentation and basically use the same program that NASA uses to roll the universe back. The universe is a very predictable thing. Stars in orbit don't change. It's very, very, very mathematically, you can calculate where everything was. So you take that orbit, you take the stars, and you literally can run the universe back. And I won't take the time and can't do the presentation now, but if you go watch this thing and do some research, literally the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and built into the creation of the universe is the birth announcement of Jesus, the Messiah. And what those wise men saw was the only a birth announcement they got. The only it's a boy they ever got was something is happening in the universe. We are tracking stars and a king has been born. And without... you got to go watch this thing, because stars, planets do things they don't normally do. Their orbit changes. And the reason you have a bright star when it goes down is that two planets line up, basically the line of sight from where these guys were. And this program they use literally can say, well, if I was right here on the planet and looked up into the sky, what would I see? What would it point me toward? I can't even begin to get my head around this. That God, when he built the universe, and this thing also goes on, if you run the clock forward on the universe, then literally the eclipse that occurred when Jesus died, the whole thing literally is built into the universe, into the stars, into the planets, and it is precise down to the minute. And you say, well, then everybody is corroborating. And this was always fascinating. Well, you know, maybe the soldiers knew they had to get him on the cross by a certain time because the planets were about to do. They didn't know what was going on. But God knew before the foundation of the world, before anything was set into motion, he knew exactly what would happen. So the first announcement, the first it's a boy, the birth announcement is literally in the stars. And these wise men show up saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. So everybody knew something was up. They knew that these wise men had shown up looking for a king. Now go to the next announcement here is in Luke chapter 2. Turn a few pages over there, and we'll try to stay pretty close to this from now on. Luke chapter 2, and let me just read this to you. Hopefully there's a time sometime during the year when you read this, but if you haven't, then here we go. Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So literally, the woman that Joseph was engaged to before the angel even shows up, she had to be engaged, even betrothed, as it says here, to someone who was from the right place, because when the registration came along, the taxation came along, that's what would cause her to end up in the right place for this baby to be born. You say, well, it doesn't matter who I marry, it doesn't matter who I'm engaged to, there is a lot riding on you hooking up with the right person. So just even getting married to the right town to be born. Jumping there to the next verse. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Nighttime, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, here's the, it's a boy, the birth announcement to these shepherds. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, and this is what's interesting about this, I won't get into this today, but people say, well, then the shepherds showed up, and then the wise men showed up. The wise men probably didn't show up for months. They saw the star and were tracking. And if you go read the account of the wise men showing up, the words used in the Greek were a child. It's not an infant baby. But here, literally, Jesus has been born that night, that day. It has just happened. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And I'm still perplexed at times as to why God chose these shepherds. It's the city of David. David used to keep sheep out there, probably in the same part of the country that these guys were in. It is fascinating to me that he did not go to the nobility, although Herod found out, some wise men found out, but there locally, it was simple people. And I think the case is still the same today. It is fascinating to me that the people sometimes who really get this, it's not many noble, it's not many of the sophisticated, even the scripture says this, it's just simple people who are doing their job, living their life, and all of a sudden some good news like this comes along, and it is good news to say the least. If you read again what they said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David, and the word here is a savior. The Messiah has finally been born, and he's right here in your town. And this is the sign, the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Then the heavenly hosts show up, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So the shepherds went to see what was made known to them. And verse 18, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So we got the wise men, they get an announcement through the stars, the angels, the shepherds come, the angels announce it, the shepherds announce it, but then somebody else is used in this equation, and it's you and I. And I thought back over the last few days about even in our congregation here, the number of people without embarrassing anybody, I go around this room and I see them, I see you, the ones that I'm aware of, who literally were born this year. And you say, well, were you born? Yeah, you were born again, but what really happens is Christ was born in you. And I would almost love to propose that as a church or that somebody, maybe this is already done and I'm not aware of it, I would love to see some birth announcements sent out by new Christians where you say it's a boy, you say it's a girl when a baby's born in your family. Maybe you send your own birth announcement out and let people know something has changed in my life. I am not the same person. I have literally been born a second time. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 2, just a few verses down there from where we were. And let me read you a few verses. This is after Simeon has seen the child that has been born, and then Anna as well. I'll read you these verses. But let me tell you a little story before I read this. One of the coolest things in a home, I've had this in my house, birth announcements three times. It's a girl, it's a girl, it's a girl. Never had it's a boy yet. But there is one man sitting in this room today who at a certain point in time had an it's a boy in his family, his oldest son. And his oldest son grew up, and I've known him kind of in his later years to this point. And a few years ago, getting out of high school, enlisted, signed up to go into the Marines, goes into the Marines. They almost killed him there. He didn't have to go off to war. They tried to kill him right there. Survives training, goes off to Afghanistan. And just a few days ago, he came home. Now, if you're the dad of that son, that's a big deal. You say, well, but it should be a big deal to all of us. Well, yeah, it is. If you prayed for his protection, if you're close to that young guy, and if you knew where he had been in Afghanistan, you'd have prayed a little more yourself. I drove my girls out to the airport, and there was a contingent of people there, and he came through the door, and we hugged each other, and it was kind of a somber moment because he was there. He had made it. He had survived at least this tour of duty, and there were some tears, some excitement, and his dad had gotten a limo, and they loaded up the limo, and I followed the limo all the way back to their house. The limo driver forgot to get gas, so we had to stop and get gas, which really horrible limo company that has nothing to do with anything, but thought, wow, this sucks. So I got, I put some gas in my car and kept following him. And we got closer and closer to his house. And as we pulled into the subdivision, course of events, he had missed a flight and was 3 or 4 hours late. But in spite of that, we pulled into the subdivision way out north of downtown Dallas. And all along the street were little kids with signs and flags who had gone outside, been queued at a certain point, almost all the way through this neighborhood. Thanks for fighting for us. You know, thank you. Made by kids, parents, everybody out there. And then we pulled on his block, and all the way down that block, neighbors out there with signs. I was okay till I saw those people outside. And then I thought, wow, a kid's coming home. Someone announced it, and here they are. I stood in that airport and leaned over somebody who was there and said, it doesn't always work out this way. Because at this same airport in Dallas, there are times when instead of a boy in a box shows up. And he said to me, I was here one day when that happened. And he said a plane landed and there was an escort on the tarmac for that plane. And there were escort down by the plane and a coffin came off of that plane. And he said the terminal got silent. And people who were in the terminal went out and pressed their faces and hands up against the window. And there was a reverence and a solemnity of that, just that process of a soldier coming home who did not make it. As cool as it is that there was a baby announcement and a baby is born, it's a boy and all the stuff that goes with that, let me read you something out of Luke chapter 2 that makes this a little tougher. Let me jump in at verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. All along the way, built in to the birth announcement that it's a boy for Mary was, this is the Lamb of God, this is the Savior, and there is no saving us without this little baby boy sacrificing his life and dying and being buried and raised from the dead. Now, babies are born, people go crazy. It's amazing. One angel shows up to kind of buffer it and then they couldn't contain themselves. All of heaven burst into this. The angels, glory to God in the highest. An amazing day. And if you fast forward a few decades, when Jesus is about to be crucified, angels again hover. They don't manifest themselves, but even Jesus says, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? The same angels that announced my birth are here to pounce on you if I say the word, but I won't do it because this is why I came. I came to live. I came to be born of a virgin. I came to live. I came to die. I came to be buried and raised from the dead. Now, let me take you back to that neighborhood. All those kids out there, a boy coming home, it's a great thing. Sometimes those boys come home, those men and women come home in boxes, and it's a somber thing. Same thing when this little boy died, when this Jesus got nailed to a cross. But here's what I'd like you to think about in that series of events. There ought to be a sense in all of us where we have little signs of our own made and little flags of our own, and every day we wait, kind of looking up expectantly, thinking, you know what, he came once, and that was a big deal, and he died, and that was a big deal, and he left, and that was a big deal. But the book says he's coming back again. And I wonder if I really live with that anticipation. Would I be out on the street of my life doing what I'm supposed to be doing, stopping everything almost, looking up going, could it be today? Could it be today where that boy will come back to take me home? I think we would live differently. I think our lives would change. And I know just looking around this room, it's very encouraging to me. This isn't just some story. And year after year, I read this passage and I think, Lord, what am I going to say? I've preached dozens of sermons about Christmas. What's there to say? And the answer usually comes back just tell them the same old thing because nothing beats that. A baby changes everything, and this boy, this baby, really did change everything, but maybe not yet in your life. He can change everything, and I highly recommend letting him change everything in your life. This is not just some boy that got born. This is Messiah. This is Christ the Lord, and I recommend, as my mama said, get you some Jesus. That really does change everything. Let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for this old story that is new every time. And I read it, Lord, and I preach it, but I still cannot even begin to get my arms and little heart around why in the world you would come down here to this mess. Why you would leave such an amazing place, perfect place, for a sinner such as I. And Lord, it's not just the book that says it. We know it if we're honest. We have all screwed up and fall short of the glory of God. We have sinned. We all got you killed. We all got you here because you had to come and be born so that you could live and die. And as exciting as it was that you came, it is very horrible that you had to die, but we are grateful for that today. And I pray that this would not just be information, just historic information for people, because it's one thing for a child to be born and die. It's another thing for that child to be born of a virgin and be raised from the dead in the same story. I've never talked anybody into believing anything, God, about this. You, by your Holy Spirit, have to put faith in the heart and life and mind of that individual. But I pray today that some eyes would be open, some ears would be unstopped, and someone who's just kind of here for the ride and eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die, just winging it, making the best of it for pleasure or whatever it is they're chasing, that maybe as this little boy drives through the neighborhood of our heart, that we would stop, that we would go outside, that we would acknowledge, we would take a moment and realize this is not just some kid. This is a baby who came to fight a battle that we cannot fight, that we could never win. But he went to that cross and took on death, the grave, Satan himself, and has won and conquered everything that we face, everything that we fear. And though we die, if you don't come back while we're alive, Lord Jesus, we will never really die. We just go to be with you. We just get a new body and a new heaven and a new earth. So, Father, however you do these things, I ask you today to open some eyes and unstop some ears and break some hearts and give people the faith they need to believe and just simply cry out to you and say, God, I'm a sinner. I know it. I get it now. I cannot save myself. I've been trying to be a good person, but I'm never going to be good enough to somehow pay you off for what you did in letting your son come. So I got nothing, God. I got Jack, and I'm trading my Jack in for Jesus. Because I need you bad, because I've done stuff and I'm going to do more stuff and I'm a mess without you. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood for me personally. And I accept his payment in my behalf and I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I receive this gift of eternal life. I ask you to come live in me and through me and change me. And let a birth announcement be sent out about me that there's a boy living in me now, and his name is Jesus. Father, thank you so much for loving us, and I pray that you would use us each and every day, not just at Christmas time, Lord, not just around Easter, but every day to announce your birth, to announce your life, to announce your death, your burial and resurrection, that those who see us would see you alive in and through us, and that we would always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us, that it would be that obvious. Thank you for coming. Thank you for living. Thank you for dying and for saving us. And it is a Merry Christmas. And you're the only one who could make it merry. And we pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus, especially during this holiday season. You know, that's the goal of this program and the goal of Richard himself, to be God's hands, feet, and voice, to help us grow in our faith journey and to become a reflection of Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world. You know, when you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So we'd love to hear from you, whether you've been on this faith road for a while or just getting started. The website is richardellistalks.com. There's a prayer wall to click on so you can share how we can come alongside you this holiday season. Also, during the 25 Talks of Christmas this month, it's a different holiday-themed program each and every day. So if you miss any previous Christmas talk, just click on the Daily Talks Advent calendar to listen to, download, or share any of these Christmas talks. It's right there at richardellistalks.com. And finally, a quick reminder that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website. Simply text the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to our toll-free number, 855-6-RICHARD. So, until the next of our 25 Talks of Christmas, we love you, we're praying for you, and we thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.